إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد, all praises due to Allah. We praise Him as He deserves to be praised. And we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O you who have believed, fear Allah the way He deserves it, and say that which is straight and correct. If you do so, He will rectify your condition, and He will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has attained, in the past, has already attained the greatest success. Brothers in Islam, the affairs of the human beings with their Lord is amazing. The affair of the children of Adam with Allah is amazing. The blessings of Allah and His mercy continue to descend upon us, and the evil and the corruption from us continue to ascend to Allah. He gives us good and we don't appreciate. He gives us blessings but we do not thank. And human beings in this regard are at various levels and stages, the worst of which are the non-Muslims, the disbelievers, the kuffar. And this khutbah, inshaAllah ta'ala, I will try to address how the non-Muslims and the Muslims do not show Allah the thankfulness which He deserves. As for the kuffar, then these people are just as Allah said about them in Surah Nuh, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. What is the matter with you? What is the matter with you? You don't give Allah the veneration and honor and respect He deserves. Some people claim that Allah is an animal or a statue, like the Hindus who worship cows, rats, monkeys, Brahma, Shiva, and the list goes on. Man-made gods that they dedicate their worship to, and they feel no shame to claim that a cow is a god. تعالى الله عما يقول الظالمون علوا كبيرا. The Buddhists worship an overweight man whom they always put apples and oranges with, and claim that this is the way to nirvana, to be one with God. As if anyone can be one with God. No one can be with Allah. You do not unite with the Creator because you're a creation. If you unite with the Creator, you become a creator. And none of us will claim He can create a mosquito, let alone a universe. this concept of wahdatul wujud or pantheism, which is beloved to the Sufis of today, is a pagan concept that Islam rejects and does not entertain. And among the Muslims are those who follow the ways of these Hindus and Buddhists, claiming that one becomes one with God. So they came to one of these Sufi masters and they saw he doesn't do salah. Said, "Why don't you do salah?" He said, "I've already reached yaqeen." And Allah says, "Wa'bud rabbaka hatta yatiyaka al-yaqeen." Worship your Lord until yaqeen comes to you. The twisted interpretation is, I've reached yaqeen in Allah, certainty, then I don't need to worship anymore. Guess what? Now you have become better than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who understood this ayah and continued to enslave himself and worship Allah until the last breath in his life alayhi salatu wasalam. Take that junk home and go away with it. Don't be bringing no pagan, philosophical, Greek understanding of their fake gods and try to impose this on Islam and the Muslims. There's no room for that. Not for you, nor for your belief system among the Muslims. We don't entertain fabrications and innovations and inventions. We have a deen which is preserved. The Jews. And what do you know about the Jews? Among the worst creatures of Allah, without a doubt. They have the nerve to say things about Allah that very few people have the nerve to say. Among the things that they said, that Allah is faqir wa nahnu aghniya. Allah is poor and we are rich. Because Allah said, وَمَنْ يُقْرِدِ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who will give Allah a good loan? So they twisted the interpretation to claim that Allah needs their money. So they concluded that Allah needs them, He's poor and they are rich. وَالْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. They said to Musa, "We will not believe حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا," until you bring Allah so we can see Him in front of us. We will not believe until we see Allah with our own eyes. And I tell you, what is the point of belief in the seen? There's no point in believing in the seen. If I told you, in my pocket I have my phone. Belief means you trust me enough. You trust me enough to know 100% that I have a phone in my pocket, even if I didn't show it to you. But if I showed you a phone, I said I have a phone in my hand, big deal. You have to believe me, you see it with your own eyes. يؤمنون بالغيب. We believe in the unseen. We believe in Allah, we haven't seen Him. If you go to Jannah, you will see Him. We believe in the angels, we haven't seen them. We believe in the prophets, even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we haven't seen him either. That's iman. Not seeing something with your own eyes. There's nothing special about that. They said to Musa, when he told them to enter the village, they said, "You go with Allah. You fight. Inna hahuna qa'idun." We will sit right here. They told their Prophet, "You go, you and Allah go fight against these people. We will wait for you right here." مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. What is the matter with you? You don't show Allah the respect and the veneration He deserves. And among the worst of creatures also, worse than many of the cattle that graze around in the fields, are the Christians. The Christians. And what do you know about the Christians? Those who say that Allah is Jesus, the son of Mary. And they say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثَ. Allah is one third of the Holy Trinity. And they say, Jesus is the Son of Allah. اتخذ الله ولدا. And if you read the Quran, if you read the Quran with care and reflection, you will be shocked and amazed at the language which Allah used to refute this claim that they have alleged against Him. One of the strongest words and refutations in the Quran are against the Christians. Allah Azza wa Jal told us about them. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا إِنْ كُلُّ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِي الرَّحْمَنِ عَبْدًا لَقَدْ أَحْصَاهُمْ وَعَدَّهُمْ عَدًّا وَكُلُّهُمْ آتِيهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. They say, they claim that the most merciful begot a son. Allah said, لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا. You have brought something outrageous. How outrageous? تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهِ. The heavens are about to split asunder. وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضِ. And the earth is about to split open. وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدَّا. And the mountains are about to fall in ruin. If Allah did that, keep them in their place, this heavens would have been already ripped, the earth would have been ripped, and the mountains would have fell. Because they say Allah begot a son. But Allah will give them what they deserve on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Yawm al-Hisab. They will get to see the consequences of this statement. Then Allah continued to say, because they claim that the Most Merciful has begotten a son, and it doesn't befit the majesty of Allah, the Most Merciful, to beget a son. And this is the point that we need to reflect on. When someone is running the business, if there's a manager that is immaculate, he knows the ins and outs, he can run the whole business individually. He doesn't need anyone except his employees whom he commands. You do this, you do that. He's the only one in charge, everyone else is an employee. Because of his qualifications, because of his abilities, because of his skills. When you claim that he took a vice president, you have undermined his status and honor. Because him taking someone to help him means he's unable to do it on his own. He needs assistance from someone else to run the business along with him. That very claim is offensive to a human being who doesn't need any assistance. Allah doesn't need anyone. Then what is the need for him to take a son? Among the human beings, this is an outrageous claim. It's a false claim. إِيَّقُولُونَ إِلَّا كَذِبًا. This is nothing but lies that they allege against Allah. And the Quran is full of refutation against anyone who comes close to undermining the greatness and the majesty and the oneness and the uniqueness of Allah. And the list goes on among the disbelievers. But the question for me and you is, why do we seem to have the same characteristics as the enemies of Allah? Why do we fall into ungratefulness and unappreciation to Allah's favors upon us? Why do we Muslims go to the grave of so-called Mawlana and ask him for something which only Allah can give? Udu'uni أستجب لكم. Call follow me, I will respond to you. I will answer you. That's what Allah told us. How many Muslims today, if we can still categorize them as Muslims, go to the grave sites and seek aid and assistance from dead people? Dead people that don't hear. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُسْمِعٍ مَّنْ فِي الْقُبُورِ إِنَّكَ لَا تُسْمِعُ الْمَوْتَى. You will not make those in the grave hear you. You don't make the dead hear. They don't hear. Do you call on a deaf person, warning him to help you? If the kuffar were calling on Jesus, at least Jesus is the messenger of Allah. These Muslims are calling on a dead man who may be wicked and burning in his grave. But because they put a nice structure over his grave, a nice design and decoration and lights, suddenly he's the wali. Did anyone go inside and see him in Jannah? In the garden of Jannah? No. Just assumption. This is not permissible. It's not permissible for a Muslim to stand over a grave and say, Fulan is being punished or Fulan is being delighted. Even that claim, we can't. It's part of the unseen. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that because Allah gave him that knowledge that in this grave there are people being punished. You and I don't have this authority. If someone's in a grave, we don't even know in which condition he's in, let alone ask him for something. This is among the greatest crimes which Allah will never forgive if the person was to die in that condition. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرْ لَا يَغْفِرْ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah will never forgive that someone associates partners with him, but he forgives whatever is lesser than that to whomever he wills. Shirk is widespread among the Muslims, and it is my obligation and yours, now that you have come to this country where Allah blessed you with their sound knowledge, reliable sound knowledge. People call it Wahhabi, they call it all kinds of names. This is ignorance. Drop the titles. Drop the titles. Drop the name calling and look into the evidences. Once you have come here and learned the Tawheed, it is an obligation on you when you go back to your home country to spread the da'wah of Tawheed. You can't be having your uncle go to the grave of Mawlana while you're sitting at home watching TV. It's your obligation to inform him about the truth. Problem is, we ourselves have not yet learned the truth. Why? Busy. Busy doing what? Constructing a masjid, social services, helping the incapable and the disabled? No. Busy watching TV, busy going to the park, busy going to the corniche, busy eating a Pizza Hut, busy with nothing. Had this time been utilized for something beneficial, then we can label this person as an intellectual person. But we're always busy with nothing. And we still don't know Tawheed and its evidences. And naturally, when you go back home, you don't know what to say. You know it's wrong, but you don't know what to say. I know there's an ayah in the Quran which says that, but you don't know which ayah. You don't have it memorized, not in Arabic, not in Urdu, not in English, and nothing. How are you going to save them? And they are upon misguidance. They will quote to you ayat. They will quote to you narrations that are fabricated. And then you lose the battle of Tawheed. When are we going to change? We need to realize what's going on around us, my brothers in Islam. The situation is serious. And we are accountable for everything that we will do. We have been placed on this earth to establish worship,
of Allah alone. That cannot happen without knowledge. It cannot happen without insight and certainty. Each one of us should do the necessary to learn the truth and to venerate Allah the way He deserves to be venerated. To avoid all kinds of shirk, calling on the dead people or calling on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or depending on, you know, bad luck and suspicion and superstitious stuff. If you see that if the salt shaker falls, someone's gonna die. If you open the umbrella at home, all kinds of nonsense. Lucky 7, unlucky 13, this is shirk. Horoscopes, this is shirk, shirk, shirk. No one knows the ghaib illa Allah. No one can come and tell you what's gonna happen to you tomorrow. They have a million lies with one guess from the jinn. They mix them up. It comes once and the person thinks that the people of the horoscope, the palm readers, know the future. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you go ask just out of curiosity, Allah will not accept your salah 40 days. It doesn't mean you don't pray. You have to pray 40 days and rest assured it will not be accepted. If you go to a psychic reader, a palm reader, or fortune teller, and you believe in what he says, you have disbelieved in what was sent down upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many Muslims buy the newspapers and magazines to see what the Capricorn is going to have next week and next day? This is not allowed in Islam. And if we don't learn, we will not know. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give you and I understanding of the deen and help us act upon it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Brothers in Islam, the Muslims of old were very unique. The Sahaba of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم were very unique. Their fear of Allah, their love, something which we miss greatly today, their love for Allah, genuine, sincere love for Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their sacrifice for this deen, they sacrificed their lives, they sacrificed their families, they sacrificed their wealth, they sacrificed their wealth so you and I can receive this deen in its pure, authentic teachings. These individuals whom Allah chose to be the disciples and the companions of His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have a favor over us. If it wasn't for them, then you and I would not have Sahih Bukhari or Sahih Muslim or Tirmidhi or Ibn Majah or Abu Dawood or nothing. We wouldn't have anything. In fact, we wouldn't have the Quran if it wasn't for the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we strive to be like them. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. And the first and the foremost among the helpers and the immigrants and those who follow them in righteousness, exactly in faith, Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. Anyone who follows them, Allah will be pleased with him. If we strive to be like them, Allah will be pleased with him. If they gave 100% for Islam, let us strive to give 100% for Islam. If we can give 100%, then whatever we can give, at least as long as we follow and imitate. But the problem is, when Islam has no role in our life, except the salawat. The salah which for many people is simply a lunch break. They love the fact that their Salatul Dhuhr, not because they're looking forward to come and pray to Allah, no, because this is the time they get to leave work. It's an excuse. So you come early to the masjid, and you find some people there, mashallah, and you think these are the ones who are coming for reward. No. I see them every day. They sit in the back of the masjid, even if he's 25 years old, as if he's 80 years old. Wallah al-Azim, from the time you enter, from Adhan time, until Iqamah, he's lying down in the back. Iqamah's called, he's lying down in the back. The first three rows are complete, he's still lying down in the back. Then towards the middle of the Fatiha, he gets up, walking slowly as if he's going to Jahannam. As if he's being permitted to prison. Allahu Akbar. What is this? This is the salah. This is the love for Allah. This is how much hatred we have. If it wasn't for the lunch break, he may never come to the masjid. But the mudir thinks he's Sheikh al-Islam, mashallah, yeah? He wants to be there at Adhan time. Not to pray, no. Not to read the Quran, not to benefit. He wants to take his lunch rest. Is this the service we can do for Allah? Is this the appreciation for Allah? And if someone is in this condition, then what is he going to offer Islam? If he cannot offer himself righteousness and being upright, what is he going to offer Islam? Nothing. Brothers in Islam, we cannot be like that. We have to change our ways. We have to return to Allah. We have to learn how to love Allah and show appreciation to Him. Finally, I've explained this before, I will explain this again. Ya Akhwan, there's something in Islam called fiqh, jurisprudence, understanding of the textual evidences and their application in our lives. When you enter the house of Allah on Jumu'ah, specifically on Jumu'ah, and the Mu'adhin is calling the Adhan, do not wait. Listening to the khutbah is an obligation. Repeating after the Mu'adhin is voluntary. Whenever you have an obligation and a voluntary act conflicting, you prioritize and give precedence to the obligation. Do not be waiting, repeating after him, then begin the salah. Then while I'm screaming, you're praying. I wonder what kind of salah you will have. But why do you have to pray? Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was giving khutbah, and someone walked in, he told him, Ya Fulan, did you pray? He said, no. He said, get up and pray. While he is giving khutbah. Which means here, this obligation takes precedence over listening, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with it in this fashion. And he said, just in case some people say, no, this is specific for one person. He said, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَسْجِدِ, if one of you enters the masjid and the imam is giving khutbah, let him not sit down until he prays two rak'at. So now that you came in, you must pray. Either you pray while the Mu'adhin is calling the Adhan and get to finish on time to hear, which is an obligation, or you wait and then you do it while I'm speaking, and then you miss out. You can't concentrate and you did not hear what I'm saying. So again, when you enter this masjid, don't be looking around, checking out how many fans are running and how many ACs are on. Don't worry about it. As soon as you come in, come to the front. Find a place in the front or come near. Don't go sit in the back. Allahu Akbar, enter into the salah. Finish the salah, sit down and listen to the imam attentively. This is the sunnah and the fiqh of this matter. If we do it the other way around, we will not be among the successful in terms of how we conduct our Jumu'ah. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to facilitate my affairs and yours, and to make us among His righteous slaves, and to guide us to the straight path, and to join us in the company of the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. And what an excellent companionship is the companionship of those. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد أقم الصلاة.